with Lance Gilman at Northern Alliance Financial, customizing the strategy of your retirement plan is just one of his goals. With Lance Gilman and Northern Alliance Financial, there's so much more. It's a custom approach in taking the time to get to know you, to get to know your unique financial situation. Most importantly, finding out your retirement goals. That information is critical in creating your retirement plan. This involves building income for your retirement and proper protection with proactive tax strategies, long-term care and out-of-pocket health care protection, and knowing your legacy wishes. Building your retirement, and it never hurts to get that human touch. Holistic and customized retirement planning. It means so much. Call Lance Gilman at Northern Alliance Financial, 833-856-1384. 833-856-1384.
Investment advisory services are offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
On today's show, as another year draws to a close, let's make sure our retirement plan is ready for the new year.
Hi, this is Coach Pete, and if you've got questions on how to properly structure your assets and build retirement income, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Financial Safari.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is Financial Safari. I'm consumer advocate Steve Siddall, and joining me today, Jeremy Bernard. Jeremy is an advisor with Northern Alliance Financial, and of course, you have, near almost 10 years doing this, and so hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Steve. It's great to be with you again. And as the weeks fly by, you know, it's just always good to take a little time to step away from the paperwork, step away from some of the tedious aspects of the job, and really just focus on kind of adding some more knowledge and wisdom out there into the world, into the universe via this radio show.
Well, I couldn't agree more. But again, like you said, the holidays are here. We should make sure we have tied up the loose ends. And there are a number of things that we can do from a retirement planning standpoint that need to be done before the end of the year. One of those is that contributing to your 401k, that's got to be wrapped up before the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. There are some things in our life that we can keep pushing the deadlines on and kicking the can down the road, to be sure. And then there are aspects of our financial lives that don't work that way. So it is important, like you mentioned, as we draw to the end of the year here, to pay attention to some of those details. Contributing to 401k plans is always important. We aren't able to contribute for this year's limits on a 401k's next year. We have to do it in this calendar year. The challenging thing, if you're trying to catch up on that, is that, of course, if most people are like me, the last part of the year is always the most expensive part of the year.
So yes,
it might be a little bit challenging, but obviously important. 401ks can be really beneficial down the road, and putting as much in as we can is a great idea, obviously. So
sure. 833-856-1384 is the number, folks, if you want to get a head start. So we're talking about wrapping up the year, and this is another one that's got to be done by the 31st of December, and that is a required minimum distribution. If you're 73 or older, that's you.
Yep, and this one is, there's so much confusion around this one. I'll take a holiday present of somebody explaining this to as many people as possible about RMDs, and if the IRS would actually speak in plain language, especially about this topic, that'd be an amazing gift, to be sure. But RMDs are really misunderstood by so many people, and part of it is the numbers around it and the rules around it have been bouncing around, not on a yearly basis, but it certainly feels like on a yearly basis the rules are changing. So, yeah, again, required minimum distributions. If you're 73, you have to take them before December 31st.
Right.
Thankfully, the penalties have gone down. It was 50%, if you remember, which is just crazy to think about.
Yeah.
So now we're down to 25, which is much, much better. Possibly we can get it down to 10 if we act in a timely manner. But nonetheless, still penalties exist on your money, which is kind of a hard thing to say out loud. It certainly sounds like the Grinch in this moment when we
yes,
talk about,
indeed.
25% penalty on your money if you don't take certain steps. That's exactly what you could experience. if you don't do that RMD. So, boy,
it's a gift
to yourself to make sure that gets done.
Well, I mean, again, taking RMDs, especially now with 73, and you said it changes every year. Well, it has, I think, for the last two. It used to be 70 and a half, as you know. Yep. Then it was 72, and now it's 73. And over the course of 10 years, it'll be 75. So, I mean, again, there's a lot of confusion around all of that. But, I mean, the good news is you can help us understand, walk us through, and more importantly, make sure that we make a timely, required minimum distribution.
Yep, absolutely. And a lot of these things don't take a ton of time, a ton of effort, and it doesn't take a ton of thought even. I mean, there's precious little to so many aspects of this industry of keeping our finances sound and solvent and working hard for us. That being said, there are a lot of them, right? There are a lot of little details. Mm-hmm. And with, you know, a few changes here and there and us living our lives and the hustle and bustle of everything going on in the world, it might seem like these are monumental tasks or overwhelming or confusing. And again, that's where I just think that we shine at Northern Alliance Financial because it's our job to pay attention to those details and make them, accessible to people, wrap them up with a nice, neat little bow to just keep with the theme here of end of the year, make it super accessible to people and make sure they stay on the right side of good with their finances.
Well, and one of the other things that we can do, which is a big deal, is the donating that RMD to charity. Now, again, there's rules that go along with that, but if you're facing an RMD and you don't need the money, it might be a great way to do something good for others.
Yeah, you can make a charitable contribution to your charity of choice, whichever it would be, instead of doing an IRA distribution, which becomes a taxable event. This is especially important because there are a lot of people that donate a lot of money to really important causes, and especially if you're already making donations, why not make a donation from your IRA, satisfy your RMD, and then give the same amount to the charity. It becomes a much more tax favorable way to give money, especially if you're already giving it. For some people who haven't been, donating their money through the years, it's a good time to revisit that and say, well, you know, maybe this is the time. I'm in retirement. I can give back to the community or give back to an important cause to you and do it in a tax efficient manner. It feels like a win-win and a good time to reflect kind of on what you want your money to do for you and for the community for the rest of your life.
Yeah, well said. 833-856-1384 is the number. Something else, well, this is one that doesn't have to be done before the end of the year. You get more time to contribute to your IRA because you have until April 15th to make that happen.
Yeah, and I wish I had an answer as to why. So many of these other things have to get done by December 31st. But if you have an individual IRA account or an IRA account in general, or Roth IRA, you do have until April 15th, the tax deadline for the following year, to make contributions to the previous year.
Well, I think a lot of folks get to a point where it's like, oh, okay, now I understand my tax situation. I'm going to make a big deposit.
Yeah, I suppose that's right. You do your regular taxes and your accountant calls you and says, hey, if you put $5,000 into your IRA, then you're going to be able to save $2,000 in taxes or
right.
whatever the numbers
exactly.
would be.
Yeah,
I suppose that makes sense. It's just surprising to me anyway. And it, of course, adding to the confusion of timelines
of
and
course.
Time frames and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, of course.
But it is nice. We get a little extra time to make those contributions. Also, if you're falling short on some of those contributions to your retirement accounts, because that busy, expensive end of the year, time frame, we do have, 3-4 months to make contributions to make up for the lost time. So, yeah, in that sense, it's certainly nice. I appreciate the flexibility and certainly, use it to the maximum effect on most years.
And let's talk about taxes, because that's kind of what we're into at this point. And tax mitigating strategies. Yeah, it's always good to have those conversations kind of as the year ends, because there may be things that we can do and that you can help us accomplish.
Yeah. There's a variety of things to pay attention to. One of the things when I think about taxes, especially right now when tax CD rates are so high, which is great. It's positive that people can get 5, almost 6% rates of return in bank CDs. But it is important to keep in mind, too, that this is going to be taxable income to you in the very year. So, in some ways, I think this is a fair thing to say. I'd want to fact check myself here, but I'm going to put it out there anyway, that you're probably going to get taxed at the highest rate possible within that bank CD. So your actual real return is not going to be 5 or 6%. again, because of taxes. If you have the 20% tax bracket, 22% tax bracket, well, it's that much less from that bank's CD. That's one of the things I've been focusing on with a lot of my clients, is say, yes, it's a good rate of return, but what if we got that same rate of return or better and did it in a tax-deferred vehicle, which we have available as well? We'll still pay taxes on it down the road, but hopefully it turns into long-term capital gains, which tends to be at a lower rate of taxation. So that's certainly one of the ways that we can focus on taxes. Also, with RMDs coming into play for some people, just because they have to take money out, sometimes that kicks them into newer, higher tax brackets. There's so many different strategies. One of the things that came through that I think is critical for people to evaluate with the Secure Act 2.0 is the ability to defer up to $200,000 per person. So if you're married, that's $400,000 into a deferred vehicle all the way to age 85. And they gave it the craziest name ever. It's called a Qualified Longevity Annuity Contract, or QLAC.
A QLAC.
Definitely something to pay attention to if you're starting to bump into newer tax brackets because of RMDs. Definitely want to pay attention to that. And honestly, I feel like I'm rambling, but I could go on and on about taxes. Right. We have Roth IRAs we could be paying attention to. We could be paying attention to tax harvesting in these individual accounts. There's lots of different strategies, lots of different things to think about, to be sure.
Sure. And again, we're up against the clock, Jeremy. Let's go ahead and invite folks to call. We're going to pick up the conversation on the other side. Hey, folks, that's why we're giving you the opportunity right now to review your individual circumstances, no cost, no obligation. Find out how much risk you're actually taking. Are there any red flags that might be a problem for you down the line? Do you really know how much you're paying in fees or commissions? Well, let Jeremy take a deep dive and find out for you. How about tax liabilities? Exactly what we've been talking about today. Of course, a lifetime retirement income plan that includes maximizing your Social Security benefits, that too, Jeremy can help you with. And if you want to take advantage of this complimentary review, just call us 833-856-1384, 833-856-1384. Quick break. We're coming back, though. We've got a lot more to talk about here on Financial Safari with Jeremy Bernard.
How's the market doing?
It's fine.
How's the market doing now?
The same as it was 5 seconds ago.
Stop worrying about market volatility. A good retirement plan will keep you from panicking. Get that solid retirement plan with lifetime income and protection from retirement pitfalls. Call Lance Gilman at Northern Alliance Financial, 833-856-1384, 833-856-1384.
Grandpa, how come you don't have to go to work anymore?
Oh, well, that's because I was smart and got the help I needed to get a retirement plan together. I met with a professional who took all that money I'd saved and all those investments and turned it into, well, you know what a paycheck is, right? Well, they built a retirement paycheck. That's why I don't have to work. Living the good life. Your grandma's going to be fine, too.
I want to be like you. I'm going to do that, too.
The proper growth, protection, and income strategies vital for your retirement. Talk to a professional about the best custom strategies for you and your retirement. Call Lance Gilman at Northern Alliance Financial, 833-856-1384. Lance Gilman, Northern Alliance Financial, 833-856-1384, 833-856-1384.
Hey, we are back on Financial Safari. Jeremy Bernard is here. Jeremy's with Northern Alliance Financial. Northern Alliance Financial, and it's nafinancialadvisors.com is the website. You can learn a lot about the whole team, but also you can find out about the seminars that you have constantly going. And I know I was talking with Lance, I think, last week, talking about how you've already been planning it into 2024.
Yeah, we've got our entire schedule almost all set. I'm going to say we're 80% done of all that kind of planning and organizing. Better to get that, those set into place before the end of the year, which allows us to focus on a variety of other topics, not the more practical aspects of the business here at Northern Alliance Financial. These seminars have formed the strong backbone for our entire practice for a long, long time, 10 plus years. For me personally, almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's good to put yourself out there, try new things. But you know, this stuff I live and breathe on a daily basis. And it was a great way to kind of share this and, you know, kind of in multiples, right? Like exponential, reach of the message of retirement planning, how to be tax efficient, how to make your retirement dreams come true. Again, any and all opportunities I have to help people in that regard, I'm going to jump on that every time possible.
Of course. We're going to talk a little bit about Social Security, and I know that's an area that you and the team at Northern Alliance are well versed in. Just some numbers. 71 million people rely on Social Security. So obviously, whenever they make changes, it becomes news, and that certainly is the case, this year, as it is every year. And let's see, last year's cost of living adjustment was 8.7%. That was fantastic, but this year it's down to 3.2%. But I mean, again, to me, that's almost good news because it means inflation isn't as intense.
Yeah, that's it. I like that positivity, Steve. I appreciate that. I haven't heard a lot positive about the COLA rise for next year. Last year was amazing. It was great. It actually did keep up with the rate of inflation, which is shocking because not a lot of government programs or any aspects of our life tend to keep up with inflation. But last year was good. This year, the rates have come down, the rates of inflation. And you're seeing that reflected in the stock market and the lack of interest rate hikes by the feds. So that part is good. There are positives to look at when regards to the cost of living being 3.2%. Hey, it's above 3%, which has historically been what inflation has been. So that's another positive. I think for a lot of consumer staples, the lot of the money that gets spent on by people with Social Security benefits, I don't know if any of those costs have come down too much. But again, I appreciate your positivity. It does mean overall inflation is coming down, which hopefully will mean a return to normal. Well, I hate to use that word.
Yeah, because there's no such thing as normal.
Yeah. Hopefully, it signifies moving into a new phase. Here we go, of growth in the economy, in the stock market, and in our lives.
Absolutely. So sticking with Social Security, so the maximum taxable earnings are going up. Now, again, this doesn't affect a lot of people, but it does affect some. So in other words, if you're making more than $160,200, you don't have to pay Social Security after that. And again, I'm wondering, do you find that, I guess, what's your take on that? I mean, should there be a cap on that or should it, I make 180, shouldn't I still be paying Social Security? I mean, again, I know it's a fairly controversial thing when you start digging into it, but I mean, Social Security is in trouble. We certainly know that.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing because of the way the math works out. If you don't cap the taxable wages for Social Security benefits, it's all tied into what people are going to get for a retirement benefit. So, not that there are a lot of people making, millions and millions of dollars a year, but can you imagine what their Social Security benefit would be if it's based on a fraction of their earnings? They'd probably be making hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in Social Security.
Right. Well, that'd make them go broke even quicker then.
Yeah. So if you look at how the program is structured and how we all pay in a little bit and we all get a tremendous amount out, if there's a couple of people putting in way, way, way more and then getting way, way more out, I think it would cause quite the imbalance with Social Security.
All right. That's a great way to look at it.
There is a lot of talk right now, though, about increasing it pretty dramatically up to $250,000. And based on what I've seen, the actuarial numbers, what people smarter than myself are saying, that might be a really good way to give a big boost of cash influx into Social Security, make it solvent again, but also not too extravagant for the upper income earners.
Right, for the high earners,
It's not going to bankrupt the overall program if we jump that taxable wage up to $250,000.
Sure.
But yeah, it goes up almost every single year. It's also nice for people who, do have those higher earnings. They know they don't have to keep paying, and it becomes a little bit of a bonus in the later part of the year when you get to that that rate of 160,000, and you have an extra 6.2% in your pocket.
Yeah,
so that part's nice.
I like the sound of that. And along with the earnings, the maximum taxable earnings are going up. That must mean the actual highest benefit is also going up. And again, these numbers are kind of shocking, I think, for people to see.
Yeah, it's it can be pretty substantial. So the jump, the highest amount you can get from Social Security for 2024 is going to be about $3,820, which is pretty solid. You know, you had to have been a pretty high income earner for many years in order to get that benefit. I haven't seen the average Social Security benefit for the whole program yet. It's been hovering right around $1,600, $1,700. I'll bet it's up closer to $2,000 a month, which, you know, if that's your only source of income, that's challenging. But for people who were able to save for retirement, to have a somewhere between $2,000 and almost $4,000 Social Security benefit, I mean, that's a really nice cushion to start planning from, and then building the rest of your retirement plan from there.
Absolutely.
It also means, I mean, that kind of number, what people don't realize is if you're getting almost a $3,000, you know, or $4,000, gosh, Social Security benefit over the course of your lifetime, you know, you're probably, you got to be sitting on a, again, roughly $600,000 to maybe even $800,000 total Social Security benefit that you're going to be receiving over the course of your lifetime. It's pretty significant. And I really like, you know, people, I like reframing for people what Social Security would equate to. You know, how much money do you have to have in your 401k to equate to a $2,000 a month pension, if you will?
Yeah.
It's quite a bit of money. It's pensions are amazing. We hear about them. We watch old Christmas movies, perhaps, and holiday movies. Mm-hmm. But there was a time when they were there, and Social Security still does act like a pension, and it's powerful. It would take a lot of money to replace a $4,000 Social Security benefit every single month. It's a tremendous benefit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as far as government programs goes, it's run fairly well, fairly efficiently.
I mean, that's my perspective. I'm sure it's got its areas of issue and concern, but for what we pay into the thing and what we get out. By the way, you can find out how much you paid into Social Security or how much your employer paid into Social Security too. It's right on the front page of your Social Security benefit statement. You can look at how much is there and how much you're going to get out of it. And it's the return on investment normally is only a few years. You got all the money you paid into the system back out to you, and then you're living on the proceeds of everyone else's Social Security and the growth of the program thereafter. So it's pretty awesome. In terms of what we get from it, again, keep in mind, I'm a huge nerd for Social Security. I love the program. I'm one of the few people that get the 800-page manual every single year talking about Social Security. But it's pretty tremendous. I love the program. It benefits people tremendously. I believe this year we're going to be up around $1.4 trillion of Social Security is getting paid out
The
economy and into individuals. So
wow.
It's a huge program that because we all contribute to it because we're all involved in it. It can do amazing things. And I love that.
Well, I mean, 2024 is a big year for the boomers. I mean, this is the biggest year. 2024 is going to be the biggest year of turning 65. Is that right? I believe that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the exact numbers, but I think it's in the neighborhood of 12,000, maybe even 12,500 people turning 65 every single day.
A day. Yeah. That's holy cow. That's a bunch.
Yeah. It's pretty wild, and it's going to drop after this year, but it's going to drop slowly. So,
right.
It's a lot of people going to be drawing on Social Security. It is going to cause problems. We know that. We know that in 2034, Social Security is going to go bankrupt. But again, there are so many people that are on this system. They're on the program. They're very intelligent people working on fixing the problem at the federal level. I'm very confident that, everyone turning 65 and drawing on Social Security benefits soon, if they're not now, they're their benefits are going to be okay. They're going to be there for them.
Sure. And it seems that seems likely. And again, I think the younger folks are going to have to deal with some changes. Again, you know, I'm sure the government is so darn good at kicking the can down the road. You know, it's going to be a crisis at some point. It always seems to be that way.
I know. Unfortunately, the longer we wait, the more difficult fixing the problem is going to be.
Yes.
But there, and I mean, as many people as I listen to and, you know, are on Capitol Hill and trying to raise the alarm, it certainly does not seem like it's kind of in the political conscience at all.
No.
Nobody's really talking about it in meaningful ways. And it quickly becomes a political football, which is super frustrating to me because there's nothing political about numbers, which is what Social Security is.
Yeah. I mean, one side's blaming the other. And I mean, you know, hello.
Yeah.
It's called there's negotiations.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, this, well, if there's blame, it's blame equally on, you know, everybody involved in the government system. So let's set that aside. Let's have meaningful conversations. Social Security and Medicare need to be discussed and talked about because both of those programs are looking at going bankrupt in approximately the same time frame.
All right. Well, we are up against the clock once again, Jeremy. Let's take a quick break. Come on back and we'll continue our conversation.
Sounds great.
That sounds fantastic. Go ahead, give us a call right now. Your opportunity to come on in, sit down, get that financial roadmap put together. Jeremy and the team at Northern Alliance Financial are there for you. They understand. They can take things in that complicated financial world, turn them into something that just makes sense. Here's your chance to get a true practical financial review. So if you're listening, call us, 833-856-1384. You'll get that comprehensive financial review that was just described, all the extras to go along with it, and you walk out with a roadmap that can help get you to where you need to be when it comes to retirement. So in short, you've got nothing to lose. 833-856-1384, 833-856-1384. Quick break, we're back. Lots more to talk about on Financial Safari with Jeremy Bernard.
This is such a blow to invest. You know what? Right now, breaking news here. Stocks all around the world.
It takes courage to face up to things like volatile markets and Wall Street money traps. If you're unsure, worried, or losing sleep about your money, do something about it. Call Lance Gilman and the team at Northern Alliance Financial at 833-856-1384. Again, that's 833-856-1384.
This is a funny money story, and it's both a little funny and a little not so funny. But one thing is certain, it's a pretty good story. It's a story about making a profit, acquiring customers, and how some venture capitalists lose millions of dollars, yet they continue to acquire more cash. We get the story from content strategist and writer Ranjan Roy, and he tells the story of a friend of his that owns several independent pizza operations. One day, he started to get complaints about late deliveries. Just one thing, his pizza operations didn't offer delivery. He did a little sleuthing. He discovered a delivery option had somehow appeared on his Google listing. Turns out it was DoorDash. Apparently, that's one method of how DoorDash acquires new customers. Oh, but it doesn't end there. He sells his pizza $24 a piece. However, DoorDash had it listed for $16. Think about it. If somebody would pay DoorDash $16 for a pizza, yet his restaurant got the full $24. So he did the only thing that seemed logical. He ordered 10 pizzas for himself, had them delivered to a friend's house. It worked. His restaurant was paid $24 a piece, and the customer paid $16. Boom! $8 profit per pizza. The money was free, a seamless transfer from SoftBank's deep venture capital line pockets to his business bank account. So they tried it again, only this time, they only sent out pizza dough. Same thing, $75 pure profit. Surely DoorDash would figure this out. Well, they didn't. And here's where the venture capitalists come in. In this case, SoftBank. They are the money behind DoorDash, who, by the way, lost $450 million, generating $800 million in revenue last year. Let me say that again. They lost $450 million, generating $800 million. What's wrong with this picture? Is it any wonder, then, why the potential Uber Eats takeover of Grubhub has hit a brick wall?
It's your go-go years, so let's get going with another retirement road trip.
Road trip? Huh. Not yet, but we are excited about when we can again. In the meantime, let's set up some temporary road trips you can make at home. Maybe call them hall trips. Come with me. Let me introduce you to an area of the home meant to keep your vehicle out of the elements. Where's your car? In the driveway? Why is that? Well, let's go inside and take a look. Oh, now I see why. Let's see what we have here. Old treadmill turned clothes hanger collecting dust now. Old newspapers. I see Reagan beat Mondale. Nice TV, vintage 1989. Who wants to watch Cheers? When cabin fever sets in, you can finally do what you've been saying. One of these days, I'm cleaning it out. Follow me to another area of the house. In my day, we called this room a kitchen. Now, what's that odd-looking appliance there? No, not the microwave. You know that one. The one over there. It's called an oven or a stove or both. Anyway, in another time, people would prepare meals on and in this device. And many times, others would gather around for maybe a little wine, some appetizers, and great conversation. Now, come in here. This is called a dining room. Now, back in the olden days, families would gather around this thing called a table, enjoy a meal together, and not check social media. No, they'd actually do a little something we used to call talk. Here, I'll go ahead and take your reservation for tonight at 6. And by the way, this room doubles as a card-playing table room after dinner, or maybe board games. Now, you know this room, it's the bathroom. What's this? You're out of you-know-what? Time for a real, safe, social distancing road trip to the store to find out they're still out. Any room in your home is a great room to go online and set up a virtual conversation with your retirement advisor and learn how to build a solid plan for yourself with income and risk protection. Hopefully soon we can all get back out on the road.
We're back on Financial Safari. I'm Steve Siddall, and Jeremy Bernard is here today. Jeremy is with Northern Alliance Financial, and you were back in the day of life insurance and door-to-door. That goes back some time, huh?
Yes, it does. Yes.
But I remember those days.
Yeah, it was my first foray into the financial industry was life insurance, and wow. I did do it door-to-door, and I've got some of the craziest stories in the world, as you might imagine.
Oh, I would guess.
There were long days, really difficult, but rewarding as all get out. And I saw the power of life insurance, obviously in action, you know, by handing, you know, death proceeds from the policies. Unfortunately, you know, that those are sad times, but I mean, meaningful, life-changing dollars I was able to share with people and protect families in so many different ways. If you don't mind, I'll take a quick second.
Yeah, sure. Love to hear it.
One of my favorite stories, I was working with this couple, and they had very modest means. They're both living on Social Security. They did have a home, not a lot of debt. And they were so terrified of paying for each other's funerals. They had a particular perspective on what they wanted their funeral to look like. They had family, but just had no idea how they were going to ever afford it. They responded to one of my advertisements, and I went into the home, and you know, we were able to secure, you know, comfortably in their budget, only $5,000 per person. That's what I was able to get for them. And in the time, I was like, oh, geez, you know, this is all I can do. This is no big deal. Da 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 da. But for them, I mean, I watched them and I showed them how they could buy this policy. There's never going to be a problem with it. They're always going to have it. And it solved their funeral expense concerns. And they just, their eyes lit up and they just, it was like a moment of connection with them and with me, quite
sure,
honestly.
Sure.
And it was just a huge burden that we got to lift off their shoulders just because of a couple $5,000 life insurance policies.
Wow.
And I loved it. It was in that moment I was like, oh, that I'm going to stay in this industry for as long as possible. For as long as the industry will have me, I'm going to be here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, that's great. I mean, that's very inspirational. I mean, and it shows that you really are a caring, compassionate person. Not that I ever doubted it, but again, it's those things that stick with you that make you, you know, a better person talking about retirement.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I hope it. I appreciate those kind words, Steve. And I also hope that, you know, anybody listening to the show who thinks that, you know, what their needs are, what their concerns are, what their fears are, you know, whatever they are, they're okay. You can have them. We can talk about them and see if there's ways that we can, you know, overcome them. You know, and no fear is too big or too small for a discussion that we can have and hopefully change your life that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and again, I know part of the passion of Northern Alliance Financial in general is education. You are all very much aimed at teaching.
Yes. Yeah, indeed. And sometimes I wonder if we, it's a good thing to be so involved, but I also feel like quite a nerd at times when I'm talking about numbers and planning and all this stuff. I'm not sure I'm the most entertaining person at parties. That's all I'm trying to say.
I understand. But people are people. It's stuff that people need to know. And yes. Again, one of the things that I've learned after doing these shows, as long as I have, is that you can't assume that everybody knows what you know.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's Social Security or Medicare or, you know, a brokerage account, there's just so many things that, you know, just the average person isn't aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. And when things change in the world, like we've been experiencing over the past couple of years with the stock market going down, interest rates going through the roof, inflation going through the roof, things change even more than ever. In some ways in the financial industry, since 07, 08, there was a lot of stability, you know, a lot of growth patterns. You know, the economy felt like it was in a more stable place. But then we hit 2020, of course, with COVID. And then maybe it's been since COVID. Everything just seems like it's flipped on its head and changing so radically and regularly. You know, so again, no shame to anybody if they're feeling overwhelmed by the changes that are taking place. There are a lot of them and there are a lot of details. We do, thankfully, deal with them and live with them on a regular basis with, you know, I probably have 30 plus appointments a week with people bringing up different aspects of retirement planning. And I, you know, my research and my past training all comes into play on such a regular basis. It does become second nature to me, just like anything else. Any job that people have becomes second nature. And you know, the nice thing is we still stay plugged in so many different avenues and ways to pay attention to those details that change again on a regular basis.
Well, one of the things that you talk about as well is, you know, the emotional side. Yes, it's about money to get into where we want to be in retirement, but the emotional side of it is, you know, people find that they couldn't get bored. I think people can find, I like this line, you're busy but not satisfied. And that's a frustrating place to be.
Yeah, it can be, but also what a great recognition to have.
Yes.
You know, the only way to fix a problem is to acknowledge that we have one. You know, so if you're not satisfied in retirement, that's perfectly normal. It's also a huge behavioral change to go to work to not going to work. And then also, and this one actually seems to be affecting more people than I would have ever thought, is it's actually when you receive a paycheck. Not receiving a paycheck every 2 weeks is a real big challenge for people.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, it's surprising to me. I haven't experienced it, of course, yet, so I can't relate personally. But overwhelmingly, people have a hard time getting their Social Security check on, you know, whatever week of the month that they're going to receive that. And then they're like, well, when else do I take out money? And how people ask me all the time, it's so interesting. Like, you know, how do I spend money?
Right. Like,
we just move money into your bank account. We can set it up just like a paycheck. And that's what we do for a lot of people. They say, listen, if you want us to, we can make deposits from your retirement accounts to your bank account on a biweekly basis or monthly, whatever's important to you. But we can ease into these new behavioral patterns.
Sure. Well, that makes sense. But it's important to have those kinds of conversations, right? Mm,
Absolutely. And thankfully, I mean, I don't know if you get the sense of it too, my previous career was that of a counselor. So I have a counseling background where I really try to focus on listening to people and not jump into conclusions, and certainly not judging, you know, any comments or emotional concerns that they might have. And, you know, they're all valid.
Sure.
One of my biggest, this is just me personally, one of the biggest emotions that I struggle with and I'm the most attuned to is whenever somebody says something like, I feel so stuck. That's a real powerful phrase from my perspective. I think it's a real negative place to be.
Yeah.
You know, what can we do to make you feel unstuck then? You know, and maybe there's nothing much we can do, but even if we take small steps, it's such a powerful experience just to start down a path, even if it's not perfect quite yet. Whatever it might be, you don't have to stay stuck regardless of your situation. I mean, if you're not on death's door, then you're not stuck. You don't have to stay there. We can take steps to, you know, really move in that direction. And even if it's not perfect, if it's just something, then it usually ends up being very rewarding, very gratifying. And then who knows where it leads,
right?
You know, who knows? I love building plans for people that are flexible. I think that, you know, helps people not get stuck. Your money stays flexible. Your plan stays flexible. What interests pop up for you? You know, who knows? And if your plan is flexible, then hopefully you can avoid getting stuck in any way.
Yeah. I was just reading a story about how, you know, the early retirement, you know, let's say early 60s is for some a great time to start a new business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, I've got one of my longest term clients, and like, you know, we're not friends, but gosh, it feels like it.
Yeah.
You know, we do have a professional relationship. She had a very successful career in the medical field and decided to open a business when she was, I believe when she was 62. And it's absolutely flourishing. And it was such an honor and a privilege to be part of that conversation with them, the whole family. They were sitting down discussing the pros and the cons. And I got to be there to talk about the financial side of things and the financial pros and cons. And huge risk. It was a big investment of their personal finances. And she is absolutely knocked out of the park. I love, she's all over Facebook. She does all kinds of other conventions and things like that. And it starts with a passion, any business and any new interest. So, if you aren't satisfied in your retirement, just start thinking about some of your passions. And if you can't think of what your passions are, then just do something.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be with any kind of, you know, rhyme or reason. Just do something you think would be fun.
Yeah.
And it'll be surprising what kind of passions might arise.
833-856-1384 is the number. In fact, we need to take a quick break. Come back. We've got another segment to go here on Financial Safari with Jeremy Bernard.
In life, there are defining moments.
You may kiss the bride.
You got the job, buddy!
Retirement is one of those standout, exhilarating times.
Carpe diem. Seize the day.
Meet at no cost with our local independent team who are here to help coach you along this journey. Call Lance Gilman, 833-856-1384. That's 833-856-1384.
Known as the pioneer of the five and dime type store, F.W. Woolworth Company was founded on February 22, 1879, when Frank Winfield Woolworth opened his first Woolworth store in Utica, New York. It was known as Woolworth's Great 5 Cent Store. Unfortunately, the store closed up shop in May 1879. He opened up a second location in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and called it Woolworth's Great 5 Cent Store in June 1879. He asked his brother, Charles Sumner Sum Woolworth, to manage his next location in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania in July that same year. It was known as 5 Cent Woolworth Brothers Store. Frank later found an ideal location for his next store, Scranton, Pennsylvania. The 5 Cent and 10 Cent Woolworth Brothers Store opened on November 6, 1880 with Sum as manager. The Scranton store is where Sum fully developed the brothers' 5 Cent and 10 Cent merchandising model. By 1904, there were 6 chains of affiliated stores operating in the United States and Canada. The company company continued its 5 and 10 cent business until 1932, when a 20 cent line of merchandise was added. In November 1935, the company's directors decided to discontinue selling price limits altogether. By 1962, Woolworths founded a chain of large single floor discount stores called Woolco. Some of these stores were branded as Winfield's after the founder's middle name. The following year, in 1963, Woolworth expanded into the shoe store business with the purchase of Kinney Shoe Corporation, which eventually created the store that Woolworth would be taken over by, Foot Locker. During the 1980s, the company tried many different specialty store formats. They also tried to revive the classic Woolworth store model into Woolworth Express, a small mall-oriented store that would carry everyday convenience items like health and beauty aids, greeting cards, snack foods, cleaning supplies, and school supplies. Focusing on specialty stores and getting away from its five and dime roots led to the store's demise. On July 17, 1997, Woolworths closed its remaining department stores in the U.S. and changed its corporate name to Venator. On October 20, 2001, the company changed names again. This time, it took the name of its top retail performer and became Foot Locker Incorporated, which Woolworth started in 1974. The corporate history of Woolworth is legally included in the history of Foot Locker Incorporated, which is the legal continuation of Woolworth.
And we are back on Financial Safari. I'm Steve Siddall, and joining me as always today is, well, not always, but this week, it's Jeremy Bernard. Jeremy's with Northern Alliance Financial, nafinancialadvisors.com. I got the pleasure of working with a bunch of you guys, and so be it Lance or Peter and or you or Derek, you know, it's nice to be able to have that sort of, I don't know, energy putting out there from you guys at NA Financial.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great group of people. You know, I think the world of Lance, he's our CEO, and he kind of leads the charge in a lot of ways, but also gives us tons of flexibility to do whatever needs to happen for the client, make that happen. Peter and Derek, they form kind of the southern branch of Northern Alliance. Lance takes the northern, and I kind of take the central area, more or less. All great guys. We've all, interestingly enough, came into the industry in about the same time, about 10 years ago. So we've all known each other for a tremendous amount of time, all gone to the same trainings. And then, of course, we do our own separate training that we bring to the group. And
right.
It's really, you know, what's the expression about synergy? And, you know, we're more than the sum of our parts, to be sure.
Yeah, sure. Well, and I like the fact that, you know, you've all got your subspecialties. I mean, you all know how to put together a plan, but then you've got a passion for Social Security. So that would essentially be your subspecialty.
Yeah, absolutely. Social Security and life insurance, I'd say, were mine.
Yeah.
I love talking to Derek in particular about the stock market, you know, different strategies, different portfolios, you know, what's the good and the bad. He's hilarious. Lance is a jack of all trades. I feel like he could, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, does this guy even need any of us around him? I can't even tell. He's such an amazing advisor and person. And then, of course, Derek is just, I mean, excuse me. And then we have Peter, who is just a you know, solid guy, knows his stuff really well and is passionate about every topic.
So. Absolutely. Well, and again, I get the pleasure of working with all of you, and folks are anxious to get some questions answered. Let's dig in. Dexter's up first in Orland, which, by the way, we were just talking about Orland, oddly enough.
Yes.
They're called the Dunlap Weavers. And I ended up with a scarf. I bought a scarf, and it's a very nice scarf as scarves go.
Yeah, it looks like a beautiful place. I'm going to go check it out.
Well, all right. So, Dexter, here's one. This is your question. He says, I'm a dual citizen, British and U.S. I've lived and worked in the U.S. for nearly 4 years. I'm 61 years old at the moment and have 14 credits for Social Security. I'll contribute in the next 4 years to make a total of 30 credits. Can I add Social Security credits after I'm 65 years old to make 40 credits by continuing to work those extra years?
Oh, what a great question. And the answer is yes, you can indeed. So if you don't qualify for Social Security, and this doesn't have anything to do with his dual citizenship at all, but as Dexter continues to earn those credits every year, he can earn 4 of them a year. Then as soon as he gets to that 40 credit limit, then he can start drawing a Social Security benefit.
Nice.
The other interesting point here for all of us, if you're earning an income, if you're earning a paycheck and still paying into Social Security, let's say you're drawing Social Security because you're working and paying into the system, your benefit's going to grow your benefit year after year in that way too.
Wow. That's cool. I hadn't thought about it that way. Yeah, but that's cool to think about. Dexter, hey, give us a call. We can figure it out. 833-856-1384. Do you run into a lot of dual citizenship?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I do. I do have a couple of clients who, of course, are Canadian,
right?
As well. It's really interesting. It gets pretty challenging more on the legal side of things if we're doing trusts and powers of attorney when, you know, somebody has a home here in the United States but is a dual citizen and the beneficiaries are going to be Canadian citizenship, mm-hmm. their citizens. And it gets more complicated on the legal side, like I said.
Sure.
On the retirement side, it's really interesting to kind of dive into, you know, the Canadian Social Security benefit, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different laws and rules there. It's fascinating. But
sure.
I only have a handful, maybe four or five clients that are dual citizens. Yeah. Not many.
Well, yeah, a good friend of mine's wife is from the UK. And so because she is dual citizen, then their kids also dual citizens.
Nice.
Yeah. So again, yeah, I think that, you know, yeah, it's kind of fun. All right, let's see. Let's go to Georgie. She is in York. She says, I'm retired and have a portfolio with 40% stocks, 60% bonds using U.S. and international index funds. Now, due to market volatility, I'm considering investing in an indexed annuity with 25 to 30% of my investment funds. Now, is an index annuity a good idea to include in a retirement portfolio?
Yes, what a wonderful question. And revisiting your whole stock positions, all of them, is always a good idea. And not just because of the market volatility that Georgie's experienced over the past year or two. At any time, it's a good time to revisit, make sure your portfolio is in alignment with your risk tolerance. So I think that's ultimately what's mostly behind this question, her risk tolerance. You said she had 40% stocks and 60% bonds.
Right.
It's an interesting mix. I'm sure she's going for a conservative portfolio is what it sounds like. And I think these indexed annuity funds that we have access to are perfect for conservative investors. Perfect because they never go down. They only ever go up or they stay flat, which is kind of what we expect a bond portfolio to do. We never expect it to outperform a stock portfolio because we don't think it's going to go down, or at least not that much. Last year in 2022, sadly, was a reminder that bonds do go down. So it's conservative, perhaps, yes, but it doesn't mean it doesn't go down. The index funds that she's looking into definitely offer that guarantee and that tremendous peace of mind that whatever amount you put in there, it's never going to go down. It's only ever going to grow.
Right.
The mathematics on that are really, really interesting. So it's definitely worth considering 20 to 30% of your portfolio. I mean, again, there are a lot of variables that go into determining how much you should put into one of these accounts. But definitely should be considered. It's well worth your time to investigate it further, and we'd love to help you.
833-856-1384. Georgie, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Paul in Calais has a very short question. He simply says, how old should you be to get life insurance?
Yeah, interesting. You have to be alive, my
well,
answer.
Ideally, yes.
As long as you're alive, you should be thinking about life insurance and see if it's a fit for you. People of all ages get life insurance. I just met with a grandmother who is a grandmother for the first time. From an insurance perspective, the child is 0 years old. We helped get life insurance, a particular type of life insurance for this grandchild that's going to work either as a college fund or as a retirement fund. So that was the youngest, obviously, that I've ever helped somebody get life insurance. And then even, you know, people in their 80s, we deal with, you know, final expense life insurance. We don't do a lot of that, but we do help people with that aspect of it. And we also do there's so many different avenues of life insurance. I really think if you're looking at giving an inheritance to anybody, life insurance should be considered. If you're looking at You know, being concerned about long-term care, there are some components of life insurance that act somewhat similar to long-term care that might be dual beneficial. You know, it might be life insurance and a type of long-term care benefit that should be considered. Also, of course, if you're in your working years and you've got young ones at home, life insurance can never be you probably can never get too much in that situation.
Sure.
Which actually leads me to, I just had a conversation with a good friend of mine, Mike. Shout out to you, Mike. Because he was asking about life insurance and wanted to buy some. And I said, well, go to your employer and see, you know, what you can max out at work first. And he was able to get an additional $300,000 of insurance from his employer. And it was $7 a month.
Oh, jeez. Nice.
Yeah. So he's got two littles at home. They're only 5 years old. They're adorable little girls. And, you know, obviously $300,000 of life insurance should something, you know, statistically unlikely happen. You know, obviously the family's going to get a lot of money paid out to them.
Yeah. 833-856-1384. Paul, give us a call. Well, you told that story in the last segment or the segment before about how the older couple, you know, got $5,000 in life insurance, each of them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so, I mean, again, so it doesn't matter what age, right? I mean, it's when it makes sense. And let me ask you about, I know we're running out of time here, but let me ask you about Index Universal Life. Is that something worth talking about?
Yeah, it is for younger people and, you know, even people in their 70s. I actually just worked with somebody who is 78 and we got him into an indexed universal life insurance policy.
Wow.
There are so many different components to that. But again, if you're looking at inheritances or if you're looking at growing your own retirement accounts and retirement savings, indexed universal life insurance policies can be really powerful ways to have a portion of your assets touching the stock market, but never going down in value.
Wow.
That's kind of the long and the short of it. It's my elevator pitch.
Right.
Definitely should be considered. I think once you get into your 80s, it's a little too late for indexed, but there are other types of whole life policies that make sense.
Okay.
And the last thing I'd say about the indexed universal life is that, you know, Dave Ramsey is a big, you know, is a big influencer here in the state of Maine. A lot of people go to his classes and he doesn't like whole life insurance because he thinks you should buy term and invest the difference. That's exactly what these index universal life policies do. You're buying term and to an extent you're investing the difference. So I think it's a real bridge from those people who believe in whatever everything Dave Ramsey says.
That's a great description.
What he says.
I mean, what a great analogy to put it that way. Because then it makes more sense to have, you know, the IUL.
Yeah, especially it's so versatile. You know, you got a stock portfolio and that is what it is. And that long-term good growth, if we can mix that in with a life insurance policy, it provides tremendous flexibility depending on what life throws at you for curveballs.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's my biggest concern with Dave Ramsey's plans is that it doesn't take into account that life happens sometimes.
Sure.
If kids get sick, if family members get sick or pass away, or if you lose a job, you know, how do those plans finish?
Sure.
Do they finish strong or do they need you to stay healthy and strong the whole time before they come through? So these life insurance plans can be really beneficial, so flexible, and be there, again, if life throws curveballs, which it does a lot of the time.
Right. Well, and again, that's when you work with people. They're individual plans and each one is customized. And we are up against the clock already, Jeremy. Let's go ahead and wrap it up.
Perfect.
One more time. Hey, folks, it's the reason that we're doing the show. The goal here is to help you make the best decision for you. So if you've got questions about what we've been talking about today, or maybe how it applies in your own situation, maybe Social Security, or, you know, maybe it's life insurance, 833-856-1384. Jeremy's there for you, 833-856-1384. Jeremy, as always, a pleasure to be here. Let's reconvene in a couple of weeks.
I can't wait. I look forward to it.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. We do appreciate it. And we're going to come back next week with new topics and questions and more on Financial Safari with Jeremy Bernard.
Investment advisory services are offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, LLC, hereafter known as Foundations, an SEC-registered investment advisor. The content provided is intended for informational and educational purposes only. The views, statements, and opinions expressed herein are those of the individual speakers and not necessarily those of Foundations and its affiliates. The information contained herein does not constitute an offer to sell any securities or represent an express or implied opinion or endorsement of any specific investment, opportunity, offering, or issuer. Any discussion of performance or returns is not indicative of future results. Any discussions of specific strategies are for informational purposes only and have been provided to help determine whether they may be appropriate for your specific situation. If applicable, the primary goal in converting retirement assets into a Roth IRA is to reduce the future tax liability on the distributions you take in retirement or on the distributions of your beneficiaries. Each individual investor situation is different, and ideas provided may not be appropriate for your particular circumstances. Foundations only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration as an investment advisor is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean the advisor has achieved a specific level of skill or ability. Nothing herein constitutes a recommendation that any security, portfolio of securities, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. No legal or tax advice is provided. Please review your retirement, tax, and legacy planning strategies with a legal or tax professional before transacting or implementing any strategy discussed herein. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to investment advisory products. Rates and guarantees provided by insurance products and annuities are subject to the financial strength of the issuing insurance company, not guaranteed by any bank or the FDIC. This is not endorsed or affiliated with the Social Security Administration, any federal Medicare program, or any U.S. government agency. If applicable, we do not offer every plan available in your area. Any information we provide is limited to those plans we do offer in your area. Please contact Medicare.gov or 1-800-MEDICARE to get information on all of your options. All rights reserved.